Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost hour exclusively here on Breadbox Media, and lots to talk about this afternoon. Follow me over on my Facebook page. You'll find many of the things that we discuss over there. And one of the more interesting items of the news cycle that I've been checking out here is there seems to be a growing gravitational pull, if you will, toward libertarianism now that we seem like we don't have viable options in the GOP or DNC candidacy. And there are those who are basically saying, hey, come on in, the water's fine on the libertarian side. I disagree with that. And I think that if that's what we're thinking, we don't really understand libertarianism. And Gary Johnson's basically saying, you don't know you're a libertarian, but you really are. You just need to know what the libertarian platform is. And then once you see this, you'll realize this is where you want to be. But again, I don't see that this is going to fit. We're going to talk about that. We'll also talk about the newly elevated position of Mary Magdalene now, according to what Pope Francis has had to say about her feast day. We'll get into all of that and more. More after this. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon here at Redbox Media. Get the app, change the world. Become a friend of the show. You can do that by supporting us here, those of us who do programs at Breadbox Media. And the link is at our website, breadboxmedia.com, friend of the show. You will get exclusive content, offers, extra things of that nature as a premium member, and all of that for $10 a month. You can find out more at breadboxmedia.com. Click on the friend of the show link. Louisville, Kentucky, with the funeral procession and all of the goings-on for Muhammad Ali. Of course, we have honored this individual since his passing, and understand that the amazing contribution to the world of sports, but I think a humanitarian contribution, undoubtedly. And I doubt that there are many who would necessarily realize that, you know, here's probably, I mean, tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, but have we had this type of honor for a Muslim in our country ever, right? And I think that there's something very interesting about this, and we may not necessarily equate the faith of Muhammad Ali as a practicing Muslim the way we would with maybe the attitudes that we have toward those who seem to represent Islam. And maybe, I don't know, my hope is that this would be an opportunity to change that perspective. But again, I'm not sure that we even grasp that perspective to begin with. But it would be a step in the right direction, no doubt, if we could see that, hey, you know what? Here's a guy we really like a lot, who certainly an amazing individual on a number of levels, and maybe his faith informed him, and that faith being Muslim might bring to light some interesting things, right? If we were willing to look a little more closely. This interesting story, very unfortunate, from the posted it over on my Facebook page from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Archbishop Chaput talking about the statute of limitations, which apparently is being considered for a Pennsylvania bill when it comes to the statute of limitations that can be applied in sexual abuse cases. Now, some may say, well, don't you want anyone to have the opportunity to take recourse for as far back as they possibly can, which I would say maybe if that is applied unilaterally. Apparently what is happening here is a proposed bill that says public institutions, the public schools, government institutions, you name it, would be exempt of this, but religious institutions, absolutely. Go back as far as you want. Now, this has been my concern since the beginning of all of this, is where does a settlement change the direction for someone? Yes, finding healing, finding ways of getting someone into the proper whatever it may be. If that is counseling, if that is some sort of redirection of their life, absolutely. But when it comes to simply looking for the opportunity to find a major dollar settlement, we don't necessarily see that in other organizations. We don't see that there are public schools being sued or schools that have to close because they simply can't afford to stay open after having paid out millions and millions of dollars in settlements. And yeah, I would invite, and believe me, we've talked about this a zillion times on the show, and every time I certainly want to make it very clear that by saying things of this nature, not making light of those who have suffered in any way, shape, or form. Absolutely not. And we know that there are those who have. But when you look at the impetus that seems to be the focus, and certainly when you look at someone like the Jeffrey Anderson law firm, who has made it his absolute mission in life to take down the Catholic Church, you got to kind of start asking questions like, why would this be allowable? Why would we allow this to occur and not allow others to find recourse? And it kind of unfortunately looks like there's either a witch hunt at play or a money trail at play or something that says there's a different category for the Catholic Church than anyone else. And when legislation clearly reflects that, to say let's open up an even deeper opportunity for a statute of limitations to be allowable for someone to go after these potential settlements, that looks suspect, especially when it's the only one, or there's some degree of exclusivity there that doesn't allow every organization to be attacked in the same way or to be reviewed in the same way, perhaps I should say, if I can soften my language a little bit as opposed to being defensive. But where this is going, I think it remains to be seen. Certainly, the Archbishop of Philadelphia speaking out on this and Catholic News Agency with the full story, which you can check it out over at my Facebook page, Leo C. Brown. You will find it there if you want to examine this a little bit more. But again, we as Catholics don't deny that there have been issues. We know this. And we know that those issues, unfortunately, have been categorized as a very specific category, which we've discussed this a number of times as well. By and large, the vast majority have been of the nature of homosexual priests preying on young men who were somewhat close in age to them in many cases, because this grooming, we've talked about this, whether it's Corey Feldman talking about what happens in Hollywood or me sharing my personal experiences from working in community theater, this happens. This happens. And it's as unfortunate as it is, It's kind of how, certainly it seems to be the way many are introduced to a lifestyle, because it's normalized. And it's there's a trust that's built. There's a period of time that it takes to build these relationships, and a very bizarre world of grooming. And this was reflective in many of these cases with repeat offenders who happen to follow these same practices. And as unfortunate as the reality of this is, it does not change the dynamic that the priesthood is not the only place where this occurs. There's a gentleman, Joseph Chambre, who will soon be hosting a show on Breadbox Media. We're excited about this. So sometime within the next couple of weeks, expect his program to be coming on board. And Joseph has come from the world of certainly a practicing gay lifestyle, even in gay porn, and has a tremendous amount of experience and understanding in this world, and has talked extensively in his blog posts about this type of activity, where there is undoubtedly a grooming mechanism that takes place, one that he was certainly a part of apparently on both sides of that fence. And this is something that is not getting addressed, unfortunately, outside of the Catholic world. And it's getting addressed there because there's opportunity, certainly, to go after some sort of, when you've got, and believe me when I say this, when you got a lawyer who says he's bragging about the tens upon tens of millions of dollars in settlements, you got to question the integrity of that. Why are we not talking about the healing that's taken place for those who have been victims? That would be something to promote. Not the tens upon tens of millions of dollars, close to hundreds of millions. I'm not sure what this individual has made in his settlements. Why are we not talking about what's truly important, the healing of individuals, as opposed to the settlements in dollar amounts? And again, a very real issue. I'm not denying that, but not exclusive to the Catholic Church, not exclusive to the priesthood. And we need to talk more about this, especially when we've got entertainers, actors like Corey Feldman coming forth and saying, you know what, we saw things of this nature. And then his friend Corey Haim, who he knows was a victim, who ended up substance abuse addicted and dead at a very young age. And there's a whole lot of this kind of beginning to open up in Hollywood now, that there seems to be a real degree of concern that there is a system in place of cover-up. You talk about those who never have been, there's been nothing addressed when it comes to the challenges there. We see a deeper degree of cover-up than what has ever been presented in the Catholic Church. But are we examining that? Do we have journalists digging into this from an investigative side, or are we only hearing from actors who've said they've been victimized? There's a lot there, a whole lot there that we don't know about yet. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit BreadboxMedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. I'm a fan of cat videos. I'm a fan of pygmy goat videos. And I'm a big fan of this video because I showed up on a friend's Facebook page. I've shared it over on mine. And that is this, I guess it's a poodle, like a standard big poodle kind of dog, appears to be, who apparently decides to play the piano when no one's at home. And not just play the piano, but also howl and sing, apparently, while he's playing piano. I guess he's seen this somewhere and decided to do the same thing. Apparently, noise complaints from the house. While no one was there, they decided to set up a camera to see what was happening. And sure enough, the dog is playing piano and howling at the top of his lungs while assuming that he's by himself. So, fun video over there, which I said, basically, this happens at my house, too, except it's not a dog. It's me. So, if you're ever in my neighborhood and you hear something that sounds like perhaps a howling dog, it might be me singing. Could be. So there's a growing trend, it seems, because now we know that it certainly appears as though the nominees are in place for both Republican and Democrat sides of the fence. And there are many who have found themselves without a candidate. They simply cannot embrace the platform of either of these individuals. And this has allowed others to step in. We've talked about this a couple of times this week already, whether it's the Green Party trying to capture the Sanders base and say, look, you know, if that's where you are, if it's extreme liberalism, then come on in, the water's fine. The Green Party is here waiting for you. And it certainly seems to be the case with the Libertarians, led by Gary Johnson, who is the former New Mexico governor, former Republican, now a Libertarian, who is basically saying, you are a Libertarian and you don't realize it, right? Talk about grooming. It was kind of the sort of thing we talked about earlier with the experiences I had as a young man in community theater. You're not able to recognize your sexuality yet, right? You're not attuned enough to know. And apparently this seems to be what Libertarians are trying to say of those of us who haven't examined our own political leanings enough. We might be Libertarian and not realize it. Now, I think that this is a very unfortunate reality that we see, that there are those who kind of drift into, well, if I'm not Republican and I'm not Democrat, then I must be Libertarian. Well, you know what? You might just be independent. You could be. There could be something about the way you think that is not going to fall into a party, and that's okay. We assume that we have to have some sort of connection to something that identifies our beliefs in a way that will give us a support mechanism, I suppose. And certainly as Christians, as people of faith, as Catholics, as evangelicals, I can't see that the Libertarian area of thought coincides any more than any of the other political platforms. And certainly Johnson is saying, hey, you like small government? We're there for you. Well, the other thing that, and he said this, but I don't think anybody's hearing it, is the socially liberal side of libertarianism, right? That's kind of the libertarian part that is most libertarian, is that it leans pretty extremely liberal on many, many issues. And it basically, it could be said in a nutshell, anything goes as long as nobody gets hurt, right? That's the mindset. And having kind of been in this libertarian world as more of an independent than a libertarian, but still I had a tremendous amount of libertarian leanings before developing a conservative understanding of my politics, and now in a very independent mode, but certainly not libertarian, having had this position at one time as a young man, I understand it well, and I know that it's probably not what you think it is. right? It's not just a viable third-party option that says, well, it's neither left nor right. There's something kind of middle of the road here. There's something kind of maybe more moderate. And because I can't agree with Trump and I don't like Clinton or the vice versa, whatever it happens to be, you find yourself migrating, I would ask for you to take a closer look. And yeah, they're very interesting individuals and people that we may respect who call themselves libertarian. John Stossel gives a certainly a good representation of somebody who seems to be logical and educated and reasonable, and he presents himself as a libertarian. But again, there's something about the very nature of this anything goes, really. I mean, in the truest sense of libertarianism, anything goes as long as nobody gets hurt. There is such a social liberal slant to this that this is no place for someone who has at least some degree of traditional value, which I would hope as Christians we do. Because we have to stand for very specific elements when it comes to certain areas, such as, well, as we know, when it comes to measuring dignity. Human dignity has to be first and foremost on the agenda in every decision that is made. And this is the beautiful thing about being Catholic, certainly for me, understanding this, is there is a true guiding point that says this is where everything adds up. If you measure the degree of human dignity that is paramount in whatever decision you make, then we've made the right decision. But if you simply say, well, anything goes and anyone should have the right to do whatever they want as long as no one gets hurt, well, someone's going to get hurt, right? Because that almost anarchist degree of limited government says that there's something that would keep people from having the opportunities to be taken care of. There has to be some degree of social services. There are those who need this type of support. There are those who can't provide for themselves, who need to be taken care of. We can't have this survival of the fittest to the point of allowing others to suffer. We're not Spartans, right? I mean, this is the ethic of ancient Sparta that really is a libertarian attitude. Now, you can disagree with me all day long, but I would challenge you to understand what libertarian really means. And if that's where you think you're going to go because you think that Trump's extreme, right, then realize what real libertarianism looks like. And I don't think that there have been many who have explored this enough to make the kind of decision that you may be making. And some would say, well, it doesn't really matter because Johnson doesn't have a chance anyways. I only got 10% of the vote of the conservative base. And that's where he could potentially gain the most traction. The liberals certainly are not going to go for him anyway. So if somebody votes for Johnson, so be it. It's not really going to matter anyway. And I don't agree with that. I would hope that our vote is not wasted. I would hope that our vote is we use our principles, we use our ethics, and we say, I'm going to put this vote where it really matters, with someone who I agree with. Now, I don't know who that is yet, right? I still don't know. I know who it's not. I know at least three right now who are viable candidates who will not be getting my vote. I could definitely assure you of that. And then, of course, I get criticized for that when I say things of that nature because it's assumed that I'll be throwing my vote away. No, I if I have to write someone in who I agree with, from a standpoint of ethics and principles, I will do that in order to vote with a true conscience. Because right now, based on what I'm seeing, and I've examined some of the independent candidates, but not enough. There may be someone who gets my vote, but unfortunately, what I find in the independent world are just extreme conservatives who are even more extreme on many of their platform issues than even Donald Trump, and they are just there because they don't think the Republican Party is extreme, conservatively extreme enough for them. So they've just branched out as an independent. That's not my world of being an independent. So it's very difficult to find that individual who may fit appropriately. But again, if I have to make a write-in vote in order to do this, I will. Because to me, principle and ethic is that important. And it's really important to understand what we're getting into. So, yeah, you may examine the libertarian side and think, well, this is what I've been waiting for. This is the limited government and the social liberal side of anything kind of goes that I can embrace. But I would encourage you to take a closer look and really look at this and think about what it's all about. Hey, the New York Times is saying that being yourself is not necessarily good unless you're Oprah. We'll talk about that in just a moment. More to come. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon here at Redbox Media. Redboxmedia.com. Check out all the many things we have going on here, great programs and podcasts as well. And we encourage you to help us find ways to help others, because that's what Bless the Yes is all about. And Bless the Yes is a way that we connect in the community, certainly with nonprofits, and find ways to help them fund the great work that nonprofits do, certainly from the many years that I've experienced nonprofit work now with 13 or so years of doing that, knowing just how vital it is to have support. And that's what Breadbox Media as a for-profit organization wants to be able to do in the communities that we serve to help those doing great work in their community. So Bless the Yes is there to connect advertisers with those nonprofit organizations. And we give away half of our gross revenue in the process to help those nonprofits. So schools, churches, certified nonprofits, anyone could be potentially a qualifier for that. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com and Bless the Yes. And you could certainly be a part of the Bless the Yes program. So apparently, according to the New York Times, the mantra to be yourself is not such a great idea, according to Adam Grant, unless you're Oprah, which apparently it's made her millions upon millions of dollars. But this extreme authenticity, as he says, could actually be detrimental. And I believe that there is a this is at least as I see it, the reason why we have to have some degree of guidance, right? This is what we talk about, an informed conscience, or a well-formed conscience, right? When it comes to, certainly from our faith, we would hope that we would be guided with certain principles in not just personality. Because, yeah, I think that any of us, if we just kind of let it all hang out and let anything go, we would probably be somewhat repulsive, right? There has to be a degree of constraint and restraint that we have in any situation socially that allows us to function. But when it comes to being true to yourself, especially when it comes to discerning a purpose in life, discerning a mission, discerning a call that says your will and your intellect is aligned with that of God's, which is what a discernment process is all about, and what really discovering what your call is all about, then that's going to allow a unique giftedness that you have that nobody else has. It's going to allow that to flourish. And we certainly see this in the lives of saints. We see this in the lives of those who have made tremendous impact. Now, we mentioned the passing of Muhammad Ali and the fact that, you know, here's a guy who's being honored today with his funeral because he was true to himself. There was no doubt. He had a gift, and he used that gift to make a tremendous impact as not just an athlete, but as a celebrity. And not just a celebrity, but a humanitarian. And because of taking a very powerful stance for what he believed in, making a tremendous impact. So, you know, it's kind of these mutually exclusive concepts that kind of say, well, if you do that, you can't do this, or it's all or nothing, or it's just, and we forget completely about virtue, which has to be a factor in every one of these dynamics that says, okay, we can't go too extreme in this direction or too extreme in that direction. There is something that has to hold us in tension on both sides. And that balance point is where we find the zone or the sweet spot or whatever you want to call it when it comes to us being who we are, who we're created to be, and what we can truly contribute. That has to be a part of this dynamic. So you can't simply say, hey, I am who I am, anything goes, too bad, if you don't like the way I roll, whatever. And simply think, and in this article talking about some of the crazy things that people have done in the guise of being authentic. Well, there's a real difference in discovering your authentic giftedness and working within that giftedness and using that gift charismatically, which basically says there's a charisma, not as in like your personality being so charming, but a giftedness that says you are supposed to use this for the right reasons. Now things can change. It's not just about you being so filterless that anything goes to the point of you being a jerk, which, yeah, I mean, and you could still be using your giftedness. And unfortunately, there will be those who just think you're a jerk, right? That could happen. But if you're using it properly with regard to others and with respect to everyone and a way to find a way to use what you've been given as effectively as you possibly can, at least by most, it will probably be recognized as a true gift and not just simply something that's getting in others' way. So I see where they're coming from, but I think it's incomplete, unfortunately, with what they're saying there. Again, that full story over at my Facebook page, Leo C. Brown. Hillary Clinton blasts Trump on women's issues. This is USA Today reporting as Hillary Clinton addressing Planned Parenthood Action Network in Washington. So naturally, this is a ripe group of individuals to say that the GOP candidate is going to make some serious restrictions. Now, I still have not had any proof of this from what I've seen. I know he's made statements of the nature of women should be criminalized for having abortions, but then he said crazy things like Planned Parenthood's a great organization that deserves funding and they do so much more than abortion. We need to support them. So I think the jury is way, way out on that one, but this is certainly politically expedient for Clinton to address this issue as it is certainly a platform issue for Democrats. Time will tell, I believe, as far as whether there's some sort of congealing on this and a real division or not, or if we continue to hear Trump tout Planned Parenthood, which I think there's probably enough backlash now that in debates and the general election path, we're probably going to see some delineation take place there. But speaking of women's issues, I think it's important to realize that there really are some very important women issues out there, and our Holy Father is finding the opportunity to shine a light on that, and I'm not able to get the story up at this point on my Facebook page, but there is a new focus on Mary Magdalene in the church of saying, here is the true example of what womanhood looks like, right? This is what every woman, any woman, can look to as empowerment to understand that there is a beauty here in this individual that is like no other. And now Pope Francis elevating her feast day to even higher regard because of that opportunity to be seen as it said, a paradigm shift for women. And when we understand the vital role that she played, and even article, as I recall it, even being representative of the church on earth, right? That her example from the moment of Christ's resurrection to spreading good news of his resurrection, so vital, just an incredibly vital role of what it looks like to embrace this understanding fully and to share that. That's in and of itself an amazing opportunity and a beautiful example of what authentic femininity and womanhood looks like. And we see it in Mary Magdalene, we see it in our Blessed Mother, we see a very similar understanding of receiving a gift and amplifying that gift and giving it back with even greater enthusiasm, with having nurtured this gift to bringing it into greater fruition. And that's certainly the case with our Blessed Mother and giving birth to our Savior, and in the complete lifestyle change we see in Mary Magdalene to the point of spreading this word so effectively as she did as an evangelist, right? And I think it's true of the woman at the well, right? Here's another beautiful example of a woman taking this encounter and having it transform her life, but not just her life, but allowing that transformation to take place in the lives of others in her community. And so many examples of this, time and time again, of what real evangelization looks like, authentic femininity, and not just a lesson, I think, for women, but a lesson for all of us to understand that we can embrace that, and it can be amplified through the grace of God if we participate in that fashion. Pretty cool stuff. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless you.